many sense the presence of God in this place? Yeah. Man, the Bible says, Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Let me just back up. I will, not I might, I should, I could, I will bless. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to give him thanks at all times. When I feel like it, when I don't, when I'm in the mood, when I'm not, in the mountains, in the valleys, at all times. Someone say at all times. Come on, let's just be honest in church. How many have ever come to church like maybe this morning and this worship set started going? You're like, I'm really not into it today. Come on. I'm the only one in the room. The rest of you are so not telling the truth. Come on. There's times we don't feel like worshiping, but I don't worship God because I feel like it. I worship God because he's worthy and good 100% of the time. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. Man, kind of confused. We have the New England Patriots in the house. We got the Eagles in the house. We got the Raiders in the house. Who else we got in the house? Cincinnati Bengals in the house right here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, give somebody around you, maybe 5 or 6 people or 7 or 9 people or 13 or 15 people, a big high five and just say, God thanks you're awesome. God thanks you're awesome. As you're making your way to your seat. Yeah. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. What's up, second service? Hey, I got to say this periodically. I always forget to say this, but I got to say it once in a while because I know there's some people in here that it's your first time or you were raised in the Catholic Church or the Methodist Church or the Lutheran Church. How many were raised Catholic like me? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand. Come on. Yeah. So I was raised Catholic, first Holy Communion, confirmation, the whole thing, Christmas Eve, Easter. And then my friend invited me to a church like this in 1985, and I was like, what in the world is going on in this place? People lifting their hands and shouting and dancing and clapping. And then I started reading the Bible. I'm like, oh, everything that was taking place is actually in the Bible. That we don't have to be silent, and there's a place for that. We don't have to be stoic, and we don't have to be there like sad. And check it out. Church should not be boring. Are you sticking awake? Did you have your Frappuccino yet? I said, church does not have to be boring. And sermons do not have to be irrelevant. And so we started the church in 1997 with 40 people. And we're just like, man, let's make sure that church is fun. I'm not saying that it's about entertainment. This is not a gig up here. This worship team is leading into the presence of God. But I don't think we should be falling asleep, man. I think God is the most amazing person. He died on the cross for each and every one of us. Right? David said, I wasn't mad or sad. I was glad when they told me I need to go to the house of God. So when I come to church, even when I'm not in the mood, Steve, settle down. Settle down, Steve. Settle down. You haven't even started your sermon yet. I'm out of breath. I'm losing control. But I just think church should be fun because God's an amazing God. I think he has a sense of humor too, by the way. And so I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to be here. This is the second service, but I'm just as fired up about preaching this sermon as I did the last one. And I got one more to go. After you go out to lunch, you little suckers, I'll be doing this again. So this would be an awful Sunday, by the way, to not have your Bible. Could be the worst Sunday in the history of the world to not have your Bible, because we're going to read like 30 verses. And yeah. And if you're like, oh, what's your problem? When you go to a restaurant, do you want like a little portion of food, like this big? Or do you want a lot of food? How many want a lot of food? All you can eat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're going to give you a lot of food today. So we're not sighing over it. We're excited about it, okay? Acts chapter 27. If you're not familiar with your Bible, it goes New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book of Acts chapter 27 and 28. We're going to begin reading in verse 13 in just a second. Acts chapter 27, verse 13. And then we're going to read the first 10 verses of chapter 28. So if you don't have your Bible, please find somebody near you that has a Bible. And I want to prove to you that I'm not reading out of Sports Illustrated or Reader's Digest or Cosmopolitan Magazine or Hunting and Fishing or any of those things. We're excited about God's Word. I thought I'd get more than 7 amens. We're excited about God's Word. Come on, I'm just trying to stall to get you to find the passage, Acts chapter 27. All right? And we're going to talk about storms. Someone say storms. You're talking about, anybody ever been through a storm? Okay, hand down. I tell the church all the time, you are there right now in a storm, right now, presently in a storm. And, or number two, you just got out of a storm. Or number three, you are about to head into one. That's kind of the Christian life. So if you're like out of one, enjoy the next couple days, because it could be that you're about to come into one. You're like, well, can you kind of break that down? Like, what do you mean by storms? I'm talking about financial things. I'm talking about relational things. I'm talking about physical things. I'm talking about occupational things. I'm talking about marital things. I'm talking about emotional things. I'm talking about psychological storms. Storms are varied. That's what James says. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials or storms. And so how many have found yourself in a storm in the last couple, week or so? Raise your hand. Come on, keep your hand up and encourage the people around. Look around. It's like almost the whole church. Okay, so if you don't have your hand up right now, take some notes for yourself for next week, because you're going to need this. Acts chapter 27 and chapter 28 is going to be our passage today. And unfortunately, I forgot to pray before I preached the last sermon, and I want to do that right now. Is it okay if we pray? Lord, bless your word as it goes forth. Amen. That's it. That's it, man. There's nothing in the Bible about long prayers. God, how many believe God heard that? All right, so you don't want to just dive into the Bible, right? You got to give a little context before you start busting open chapters 27 and 28. So if I can get attenzione, por favor. Not bad for a white guy that took 2 years of Spanish and a year of Spanish in college. Hey, not bad, huh? And eyeballs, please. Paul, the Apostle Paul's on a ship headed to Rome. Remember Paul? He wasn't a Christian. He actually killed Christians in Acts chapter 8. Then he became one. And if you have someone in your life, you're like, there's no way my dad would ever get saved. There's no way my boss would ever get saved. This is Paul. I mean, he killed Christians before he came one. So how many know there's hope for everyone and anyone, right? So in Acts chapter 8, he's killing Christians, and then God gets a hold of his life and actually blinds him for a period of time. And then this guy that they used to kill Christians became one and became the greatest one that ever lived outside of Steve Abraham, outside of him. No, just kidding. Outside of Jesus himself. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and did some powerful things and had an assignment to take the good news, the gospel, not just to the Jewish people, but to the Gentiles. What is a Gentile? A Gentile is someone that's not a Jew. And so that was the assignment, to preach the gospel. And because of that, they didn't like him. What did they do? They arrested him. And they wanted to give him a fair trial, so they put him on a ship with 275 other people. Some were sailors, some were prisoners, and they're on their way to Rome so he can stand trial before Caesar. Now, he's on the ship not because he did anything wrong. I know, sometimes you're in a storm, not because you did anything wrong. Look at me. Sometimes it's just because we live on a broken planet. And sometimes I'm in a storm because, not even the decision I made, someone else made the decision. Because God gave that person free will, okay? So you don't always need a reason. Look at me, you don't always need a reason why you're going through something. Sometimes there's no reason. Are your kids like that? Hey, Dad, can I go to Billy's house? No. Why? Because I said so. But I know, but why? I'm not going to give you a reason. No. Hey, Dad, we're going to go to the football game on Friday night, and after the football game, there's a bunch of people getting together for a party. Can I go? No. Why? Because I'm your dad. I'm not giving you a reason. I'm in charge. Keep your mouth shut. Sorry. And sometimes we don't know why we're going through what we're going through. We don't always need a reason. When I first became a pastor, like a junior pastor, like a rookie pastor, and people in the church would come to me and say, man, you're not going to believe this. I lost my job. You're not going to believe this. I found out my spouse was having an affair on me. You're not going to believe it. My parents passed away. Check it out. I always felt like I had this pressure that I had to come back with, like, this is the reason why you're going through this. Pastor Steve, I just lost my job. And I would feel like, Steve, what are you going to say to him? Give him something good. I'm like, I know what you're going through. I don't understand what you're going through, but God's building character in your life. People don't need to hear that, though. This is why your father just passed away. Don't you know this verse, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good for those who love God and called according to his purpose? And then my mom died when she was 59, and I don't need people coming to me with a verse and a quote and a reason. I just need somebody to hug me and sympathize with me and come alongside me. And and when my mom passed away, I did her funeral, and I was broken. I don't know how God gave me the grace to get to preach the sermon. And I remember a friend of mine came up to me, and he just put his arm around me. He says, "I have no idea what you're going through, but I'm here for you." Amen. That's what we need. We don't need a Bible verse. We don't need somebody to preach at us. We don't need, hey, quote this, quote that. Hey, I'm here for you. How can I help you? So Paul's on a ship. We don't know exactly why he's on the ship. He's on the ship for something he didn't do, a trumped up charge. So again, sometimes we don't know why we're going through a storm. But I want to, is it okay if I preach on storms? Yeah? Do we have time? Raider game's not for another hour and a half. We're good. All right. Here we go. Three things. Number one, write this in your notes. Then we'll start reading the Bible. Number one, storms can lead to discouragement. Storms, if we're not careful, can lead to discouragement. True or false? Where'd you get that? In the Bible. Verse 13, would you look at your text there, NIV? I'm reading on the NIV. When a gentle, notice this, how cute this is. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Doesn't that sound really cool? You're like on, have you ever been on a cruise before? My wife just said we were in Italy a month ago. They were like right there. And you're just on the ship, and notice it's a gentle, soft wind. And you're on the Princess Cruise, and all you could eat buffet. You ever been on a cruise before? It's amazing. And you don't have to do jack. You just kind of sit there, and you eat a lot, and you get to sleep in, and then after you eat a lot, you eat more. We're just kind of cruising along. This is so fun. You got your friends there. We're just on this cruise. And that's kind of how life is, isn't it? Yeah. So we're just cruising along. I mean, we're like on the Mediterranean. This is amazing. Oh, but verse 14 says, but before very long. The New Living Translation says this, but the weather changed abruptly. Isn't it interesting how fast things can change? I was thinking this last week again. Some of the students at Hart High School, they went to school in the morning, and who would have thought that, man? We're just going to school, and two of them lost their lives, and five of them were injured. And that's how storms happen. It's just like, things were going great. I was just getting dressed. I was on my way to school, and then boom, there's a mass shooting. Boom, there's a car accident. Boom. There's a brain hemorrhage. Boom. There's determination. Boom. I found out my spouse is having an affair. That's how discouragement comes. It comes through storms. And check it out. Storms will hide, and discouragement will hide behind clothes, makeup. At church, discouragement hides around, hey, how you doing today? Oh, I'm so blessed, brother. How you doing? God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Discouragement hides behind a hallelujah and a praise the Lord and a worship set. It hides behind a sermon, and storms come, listen, suddenly. Where did that come from? I never expected that. I could have never imagined that news that I just heard. It comes suddenly, and it comes secretly sometimes. Check it out. If discouragement doesn't get you on the way to work in your car, discouragement will get you at work. And if it doesn't get you on the way to work or at work, it'll get you on the drive home from work. And discouragement is no respecter of persons. Discouragement is messing with the homeless guy living in the river bottom, to the person in Section 8 housing, to the middle class family in the neighborhood, to the guy sitting on Lake Sherwood mansion, 10,000 square foot home. It's no respecter of people. And where did this come? I mean, we were sailing, having a great time on the Mediterranean, then out of nowhere. And I just want to be really honest. I know you are so much more spiritual and holy than I am. I just want to tell you what really bugs me about discouragement. It's even harder for a Christian. So I don't mind me going through some storms. That's not necessarily the hard part for me. What's really hard for me is when I see other people, pagans, non-Christians, non-believers, I'm going through all hell in my life, and I'm looking at it for people that don't go to church, that don't preach the Bible, that aren't leading a church, that don't praise the Lord, and it seems like they're getting blessed. So check it out. It's not even my storm that discourages me. It's their success that baffles me. I'm like, how could God bless them? I'm trying to do all the right. You know what I'm talking about? Why are you looking at me in that tone of voice? You're so much more holy than God. I'm just saying, I have a hard time when I know I'm doing A, B, C, and D, and this person at the work, they're mean and nasty and ugly, and it just seems like they're getting raise after raise after raise, brand new house, brand new car. I can handle my storm. I have a hard time handling the blessing of other people. I'm sorry. Pray for your pastor. I'm trying to tell the truth. I love you, by the way. I'm serious. I preach better. I hear you once in a while. It's good. It's all good. Verse 14, before a very long wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island, the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were, notice this phrase, and were driven along. As we passed by to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship. Notice how desperate they're getting. Itself to hold it together. Yeah, we're going to pass ropes underneath the ship that's coming apart, and we're going to hold the ship together with ropes. What are you doing? Because they were afraid they would run aground on the sound barrels of Sirtis. They lowered the sea anchor. Notice this. Here it is again, verse 15 and verse 17. And they let the ship be driven along. I wrote this in my notes. Are you driven along by what you see or by what God said? Are you driven along by your past mistakes or your future miracles? Are you driven along by the emotions that you feel or the faith that you know? Are you driven along by a victim mentality or a victorious mentality? Are you driven along by disappointment and drama or by destiny and determination? Are you driven along by your problems you're experiencing or the purpose God has for you? Are you driven along by the opinions of haters or the omnipotence of a Savior? Are you driven along by the circumstances of life or the Spirit of God? Are you driven? How are you being driven along? Here's what I've discovered in our lives as believers. Our destiny is not affected by what's in front of us. It cannot be thwarted by what's in front of us. Our destiny is predicated on who lives inside of us. Oh, that's good. I thought I'd get way more amens than that. So listen, the storm in front of me is not dictating my destiny. It's the Spirit of God living inside of me. Because I'm going to get to where I need to get because God is in control and sovereign. But I got to be honest with you. Sometimes storms come and they discourage me. And notice what they do in verse 18 and 19. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. What are you doing? On the third day, verse 19, they threw the ship's tackle board over. They're just throwing everything overboard. Eventually, later in the text, they're throwing the food overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle board with their own hands. They're getting, keyword, desperate. And that's what we do, huh? Come on. When discouragement sets in, then we get desperate. Look at me. And then desperation, we do dumb things. So I'm so discouraged, I'm so desperate, I'm just going to throw away my virginity. I'm going to throw away my opportunities. I'm going to throw away my purity. I'm going to throw away my dreams. I'm going to throw away my marriage. I'm going to throw away my character. I'm going to throw it all away because I'm just desperate. I'm so discouraged. And that's what the enemy wants you and I to do. And if you're not careful, discouragement will lead you even to a worse place. Point number two, ready? Discouragement is one thing, but this is a whole other thing. Storms, number two, can lead us to despair. Despair. Discouragement's bad enough. Disappointment's bad enough, but it leads to despair. And in verse 20, it says, neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days. Notice, the sun didn't come out. We're going to discover it's actually 14 days. No sun, no stars for 14 days. You ever been in a storm like that? I'm not talking about 3 minutes or 3 hours. I'm talking about 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, or 30 years. Encourage your neighbor around you. How many have ever been in a storm? You're like, it just seems like I'll never get out of this. Would you raise your hand? Come on, look over the building. Your brothers and sisters in Jesus, am I ever going to get out of this? And so what it results in, the end of verse 20, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. That's despair. I wrote a definition in my notes. Despair is when you can't see any possibility that you're going to feel any different than you do right now, or that it's going to be any different than it is right now. That's despair. The way that I feel today, I'm always going to feel like this. I'll feel like this on Monday, on Friday, a week from now, a year from now. It's never going to get any different. I'm not going to feel any different. It's not going to be any different. And so all hope was lost. The Bible says hope deferred, which means to be put off, makes our heart what? Sick. If you have no hope, it makes your heart sick. But, all of God's people said but. Here comes the Apostle Paul on the ship. Did you see Jaws? You saw Jaws? Dun, 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 dun. Give me a little of that. Here comes the Apostle Paul on the ship. Hey, they should have been really happy that Paul was on the ship. Do it one more time. It's really cool. Dun, 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 dun. All the young people are like, huh? What's that? I remember the first time we told like, you gotta watch Jaws, you gotta watch it. It's such an awesome movie. The effects are so cool. And they're like looking like, this is the stupidest movie I've ever seen. But it was cool to us like 100 years ago. Anyhow, on the ship now is the Apostle Paul. They should have been glad he was on the ship. By the way, this is a great time to turn to your neighbor and tell them, you should be glad you're sitting next to me. You should have been glad Paul was on the ship. You should be glad. You're anointed. You're better because you're sitting next to me. Come on. Right? So here comes the Apostle Paul on the ship. And check out verse 21. The Bible says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, notice what he said. Men, you should have taken my advice. I love that. Hey, men, you should have taken my advice. Some of you are like, I didn't know the Apostle Paul was a female. Uh-oh, crowd's turning on me. How'd it go? Oh, some of you didn't get it. So I'll help you out. Man, you should have listened to my advice. That's kind of what a woman would say, right? Hey, honey, how about a Mother's Day message next year? That'd be a great title for a sermon on Mother's Day. Men, you should have taken my advice. Can I get a high-pitched amen from all the females in the house? Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. We'll see you. Just kidding. So that's great. Men, you should have taken my advice. That's really funny whether you think it is or not. You should have taken my advice. It wasn't like, hey, you should have taken. No, it's like, I tried to tell you not to sail from Crete, then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. I love verse 22. But now. Someone say, but now. Came to church a little down, but now. Was feeling a little lonely, but now. Feeling a little afraid about the future, but now. Messed up on my first marriage, but now. I don't have any hope, but now. Feel like I'm trapped in an addiction, but now. Feel a little depressed, but now. Had thoughts of suicide, but now. I love the buts of the Bible. I want to do a sermon series one time called Bible Buts. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, but God. But God, but now, but God, but now, but God, but now. Someone say, but now, but now. Honestly, I just came in. I wasn't really wanting to come to church, but I got in here, and after like the first song or so, man, I was just kind of down, but the worship started to happen, but now I feel better. But now I feel encouraged. But now I feel like, now I feel victorious. Man, it just looked like my marriage wasn't going to work out, but I've just been praying and seeking God, and I'll tell you, but now I feel different. Now, this is crazy. But now I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. So you're on the ship. You're like, Paul's like, hey, you're going to be fine, but the ship's going to, we're going to lose the ship. Hey, Paul, how will I get to the shore? Don't worry about the ship. You're going to be fine, though. How about this? Let the ship serve as anything that we think we can't live without. To get to the place where, oh, this is good. I didn't say this in the first service. I just feel like the Lord just gave it. To get to the place where you need to go, you might lose some ships. Friendships. Companionships. Relationships. Gym membership. I don't know. Your sponsorship, leadership. I don't know, I'm running out of ships. But it's the thing you think you can't live without. What if you lost it? What if you lost your job? Like, what if? In our backyard, we have a basketball hoop that adjusts, and Ryan was probably, I don't know, 10 or 11, 12, somewhere in there, and he has a whole basketball. It's a full court game. It's like the Lakers against the Celtics in his mind. It's just him out there. But in his mind, it's 5-on-5, and so he throws the ball against the back of the house, and granted, there's a couple of windows in the back of the house, and he, like, throws it in, and it's like, game. It's like this game's going on in his mind, and I'm trying to watch TV. It's like, boom, boom, like every, he throws it off the back of the house, and I didn't say this in the first service, and I am a little bitter because when I went back there after a couple of years, like, all the stucco is gone because he kept, anyhow, I'm getting over it. God's healing me, but... So it's like, boom, boom, boom. So I finally went out and I, hey, can you stop throwing the ball against the back of the house? How come? I said, because you might break a window. There was like two or three windows right there, and he would throw the ball right between the windows on the stucco. I'm like, because you might break a window. And I don't know why I remember this, but he said, well, what if I do? No, but he wasn't saying like, what if I do? He was just saying like, well, what if the window broke? And I said, well, I beat your butt and you'd have to pay for it. But I was thinking about this week, like, what if it did break? What would I do? I would fix the window, because I'm his father. I'm not gonna be watching ESPN in the middle of the winter and the rain's coming into my living room. I'm gonna get the window fixed. So, hey, what if you lost your job? Like this week, what if you lost your job? It'd be hard, it wouldn't be the end of the world though, right? God would help you, you'd get through it. What if your spouse just said, I'm out of it? Like, if you lost your spouse, it would be horrible. But I think no matter what would happen in my life, I really believe that I would still serve God even if I lost my ship. You know, Pastor Andy, he was sitting here earlier during worship. He was a retired fire chief. Now he's on our staff. Do you know 2 years ago in the fire in Ventura, he lost his, he's a fire chief. Retired, lost his entire house, burnt to the ground. I didn't say this, but in his house, they were in the they just got air conditioning like a week or two before the house burnt down. He had a bunch of appliances they were about to install in the house before it burnt down. He lost, can you imagine losing everything? We went to Target and bought him underwear. Got no underwear. I know some of you guys wear like the same pair. So, can you imagine losing everything? No nail clipper. Think about everything. They lost everything. Was it hard? Incredibly hard. Was it difficult? Yes. We've shed tears together. It was hard then, and it's hard now. But I'll tell you, the faith of this couple is so amazing. As hard as it was, they kept pressing into God, coming to church, reading their Bible, contending for God to do awesome things. So even if I lost my house, God forbid, I still got Jesus. Isn't that what Paul said? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Hey, I might lose everything. If it happened, hey, God's in control. He'll give me something better. So what, turn to your neighbor and say, what if? But I have to say this is so important. By the way, can I remind you that Paul's on the ship not because of a bad decision that he's made? And it wasn't the devil either. So many Christians, it was the devil. No, look at me, it wasn't the devil. We told you never to marry her. She is crazy. She was crazy before you met, she's still crazy. We warned you, we told you, we counseled you. You made a dumb decision, that was not the devil. You're giving him way too much credit. You should have never married him. He was lazy before you met, he was lazy when you dated, he was lazy when you got engaged, he's still lazy. That is not the devil, you made a dumb decision. Man, my finances are in the toilet. Yeah, you got a $750 lease. You're making $1,000 a month. That's not the devil. That is dumb. Hey, you're giving him way too much credit. By the way, do you know the devil is not omnipresent? He's not everywhere. We're not that big that the devil would mess with us. Oftentimes, I'm in a storm because either I made a bad decision or someone else made a bad decision that God gave them a free choice. And sometimes it's just a broken world that we live in. So just turn to your neighbor and say, it's not the devil, it's not the devil. All right, all right, all right, all right. Verse 23 and verse 24. You still with me? Verse 23, last night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve. That's so good. Whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and he said, do not be afraid. Paul, you must stand trial before Caesar. What? All of God's people said, what? I'm like, what? I've gone through hell already and... the reason why I'm gonna get through this battle is because you have another battle for me? I gotta stand trial? Oh my goodness. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you, so keep your courage. There it is. There's a word for you today, keep your courage. Why? Because I have faith in God. There it is right there, listen. This is how I know I'm gonna get through the storm. Because I have faith in God. This is how I know that the storm's not going to take me out, because I have faith in God. Not in people, I have faith in God. This is how I know I'm not going to lose it all, because I have faith in God. And then he goes on to say, he says, it will happen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it'll happen. Notice this, it'll happen just as he told me. So I'm going to get through the storm, and it's going to happen, listen carefully, just as he told me. Notice he doesn't say, just how I prayed it would happen. Just how I had hoped that it would happen. Just how I thought it would happen. Just how I imagined it would happen. No. Just like he said it would happen. Because sometimes you pray not his will be done, you pray your will be done. So it's not going to happen the way you thought it would happen. It's not going to be the way that you imagined it would, that you prayed that it would, but it's going to happen because God said it would happen. I am so excited to get to point number 3. I can't even tell you, my heart's beating out of my chest right now. This is where the sermon gets really good. So give me a little drum line. You ready? Oh, I don't think this service can handle point number 3. Are you ready? Here we go. Point number 3. Coming up on the screen right now. Love it. Number three. Storms are times of deliverance. Oh, this is going to get so good. This is going to get so good. Storms are times, opportunities for God to deliver us. Ready? I got to tell you the rest of chapter 27, and then we're going to start reading chapter 28. Chapter 27, the boat gets jacked up. Some prisoners on the ship, some sailors on the ship. They were going to kill all the prisoners, but they said, no. We got to spare Paul. So they decided not to kill anybody, and they said, hey, you guys that can swim to shore, you guys swim. The rest of you that can't swim, remember the ship got broken up? They were just holding on to broken pieces of the ship, and the Bible says they made it to shore. There's the sermon right there. You're going to get there even on broken pieces. Oh, that's a good sermon right there. Oh, yeah, broken pieces. All right, so verse 28. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called what? Was called what? Malta. Everyone say Malta. Let me show you a little map of kind of Italy area. See that? See Italy right here? Huh? Say, look at Rome. Oh, look at how cool the technology is. Well, there's Rome right there. So he's headed where? Rome, listen, he's headed to the most important and influential city on the planet at the time. So he's on his way to Rome, but see where Sicily is down here? There's a little island right underneath Sicily, right there. That's Malta. It's like it's barely on the map. Hey, I started thinking about this in my office on Friday. What is the most important person, powerful person, prophetic person, doing in the middle of nowhere? What is the Apostle Paul doing in such a small place, a stuck place? God has his purpose. He's on Malta. Listen, Malta is the job you never saw losing. Malta is the marriage you never saw ending. Malta is the depression you never imagined having. Malta is the relationship you never saw disappearing. Malta is the cancer you never saw coming. Malta is the lawsuit you never anticipated happening. Malta is the house you never saw foreclosing on. Malta, someone say Malta. The word Malta actually means refuge. Check it out. The plans of God in our life, it's not going to stop the storm, but it'll get us to where we need to go. It doesn't always guarantee that the storm stops, but we're going to get to the destination that God has for us. What, again, is the Apostle Paul doing in this unforeseen, surprising, strange, small, unexpected place? What's he doing there? Well, we're going to find out. Verse 2 says, the islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. You got that? Raining and freezing. See? Storm. Shipwreck, shivering. Come on, can we show a little grace and compassion to the Apostle Paul right now that he's still hanging on? I don't know if I would have kept hanging on. And in verse 3, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put on the fire, a viper, a snake, driven out of the heat, fastened itself on his hand. Are you serious? Just when you thought it couldn't get any worse than it's gone. This is like almost comical at the point, isn't it? Okay, I'm on a boat for something I didn't do, trumped up charges. Then I'm out in the middle of the sea, And then we get shipwrecked. Then I got to go through the storm. And then I'm shivering. And now I got a snake. You would think this is almost made up if it's not in the Bible. Isn't that how life is too, by the way? Just when I thought things couldn't get any worse, then I walk in and my boss says, you're going from 40 hours a week to 25 hours. And then I was driving home and the transmission went out. Then I got a call from my kids' parents, said that they've been acting up in school. And then somebody sent me a text message and criticized me. And then I went on Instagram and I lost 100 followers. I'm just making stuff up. You ever had kind of a week like that, a month like that? It's just like one thing after another, after another, after another. And so why is Paul having to go through all of this? Well, now he's got a snake. Notice at the end of verse 3, it's fastened itself to his hand. So it's not like it kind of jumped on him. No, it's. Have you ever felt like something's been fastened to you? You can't get rid of the addiction. You can't get rid of the reputation. You can't get rid of the comments. You can't get rid of it. It's just fastened on. And so this thing's not going anywhere. It's something that you can't shrug off. So in verse 4, when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer. Look at me. That's why you can't trust people. They're wishy-washy. Do you know, honestly, there are some people in your life, they want to see you fall. They want to see you falter. They want to see your marriage go to nothing. They want to see your finances go in the toilet. They want to see the car repossessed. They're haters. Seriously, they're haters. And they're just sitting back waiting for something to happen in your life. And so that's why we don't put our stock in people. He must be a murderer. Though he escaped from the sea, the goddess justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire. Someone say, shake it off. Turn to your neighbor and say, shake it off. Come on, today is the day we came to church to shake some things off. I'm shaking the opinions that other people have about, I'm shaking it off. I'm shaking off the insecurity. I'm shaking off the disappointment. I'm shaking off the discouragement. I'm shaking off of the depression. I'm shaking off of the poverty. I'm shaking off the illness. I'm shaking off all hell that has come against my life. I'm shaking it off. I'm not going to whine about it. I'm not crying about it. I'm shaking it off. This thing has been hanging on me too long. I'm shaking it off. I got too much in my future. I got to shake it off. God's got an incredible destiny for you. I got to shake it off. Someone say, shake it off. Verse 6. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. There it is. That's people, isn't it? We're expecting them to die. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen, they changed their minds. Oh, he's a murderer. Oh. No, he's not. He's a healer. Isn't this what Peter? I'll never deny you. I do not know the man. The same people that said, Hosanna, 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 also said, crucify him. So we're not man pleasers, we're God pleasers, because people always change their mind. I used to like Pastor Steve, I used to like the church, but I don't know, I've seen another side of him. People change their minds. So look, I'm just like, all week, I'm like, why is the greatest Christian that's ever lived, why is he going through all these things? And there's a reason why. Verse 7, there was an estate nearby that belonged to, what was his name? Publius. Everyone say Publius. Look at me for a second. Anybody in the room, any females in the room pregnant or hoping to be pregnant and have a child one day? Let me just see your hand. Okay, yeah, yeah. And I know they got all those name books. Like, what's your name? Or I want to suggest Publius. That would be awesome. Come here, Publius. Man, call him Pub. Call him P Daddy, P whatever. Sorry. Publius. Anyhow. Publius, someone say Publius. So there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and he showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. I could do a whole sermon on 3 days. Jesus was in the belly of the earth for how long? 3 days, then he rose again. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for how long? And then he got out of the fish. And how many disciples did Jesus have? Yeah, I was just checking to see it. Just checking, 12. But he did have Peter, James, and John, 3. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, 3. There's some powerful things to take place after 3 days. So after 3 days, Verse 8, Publius's father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed them. When this happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were what? Cured. This will preach. I'm going to come down on the stage and hang out with you, so if you're sleeping, now's the time to wake up. Why did the Apostle Paul have to go through all that he went through? Why the sea? Why the storm? Why the shipwreck? Why the shivering? Why the snake? Why did he have to go through all that? Because he had to go to Malta. Because at Malta, there was a guy by the name of Publius who had a father who was sick and dying. And the Bible says that the Apostle Paul went into the house and he placed his hand upon him. When he placed his hand upon him, he got healed. So could it be that the reason why you're in an unexpected, insignificant, small, stuck place is because it's not even for you? Check this out. It wasn't that Paul needed Malta. Malta needed Paul. So he placed his hands upon Publius' father and he got healed. But that's not what the text says. The Bible says that when news got out on the whole island, I don't even know how this happened. There was no Instagram, there was no text messaging, there's no group chat, there's no cell phones back then. How did everybody know that Publius' father got healed? We don't know. But the word got out. Someone said the word got out. And so he prayed for Publius' father. He gets healed. Then he starts placing his hands upon the entire village. Sorry for messing up your hair right here. And he places his hand on them and they were all healed. Check it out. He went on this ship, he went through a storm, he had to deal with the snake, not even just for one man, but for an entire island to get healed. Could it be that what you're going through has nothing to do with you, it has everything to do with the people around you? Check it out, parents. Parents, if you can't break out of the addiction, please do it for the sake of your kids and grandkids. If you can't overcome the depression and thoughts of suicide, for God's sake, please do it for your kids and grandkids so they can see that God is faithful. So Paul's on this island, never meant to go on the island, but he's there for a greater purpose. Could it be that the storm that you're going through is actually for a greater purpose? And this is really cool in verse 10. Verse 10 says that all the islanders showed us great kindness, and they honored us by giving us supplies so we can set sail and go to Rome. Did you catch that? So if we'll keep the right attitude, the right heart, the right temperament, the right posture going through the storm, God will give us all that we need, because he's Jehovah Jireh, to get us to the place that he wants us to be. There it is, there it is. Hey, Paul, you had to go through all that because it wasn't about you. It was about the people on Malta that needed the God in you. Would you stand to your feet? I want to pray for us. Didn't do this in the first service. It's only because I love this one more. If you're here in a storm, financial, emotional, physical, relational, marital, I want you to get out of your seat. Would you join me at the front right here? Come on, get out of your seat right now. I don't care if you're 8 years old, 80 years old, male, female, everywhere in between. Come on, let's stand up at the front here. God's going to meet you all the way to the front. Move all the way to the front. God's going to meet you where you're at. There's a purpose why you're going through what you're going through. And right now, you don't need me to give you a verse. You don't need me to give you a sermon. You don't need me to say, hey, God's working together, all things for good for those who love God and are called according. No, you don't need that. You need us to empathize with you and sympathize with you, and you need some compassion. And let me just say, God loves you. God's got a great plan for your life, and what the enemy's intended for evil, God is turning it around for good. Come on, crowd to the front. There's room over here in the middle. Make your way to the middle. Listen, everybody in this section, you're going through what you're going through because there's a greater purpose. You can't see the purpose right now. But But God has plans for you. Not to destruct you, not to destroy you, but to give you a future and a hope. Hang on. Hang on. You're going to get to the other side. You're going to make it. You're going to get through it. You're going through the storm. It's been shaky. It's been shifty. You've been shivering. It's been cold. It's been hard. You've wanted to quit on God. You've wanted to quit on church. You wanted to stop reading your Bible. You wanted to toss everything aside. I was just thinking, in Mark chapter 6, remember when the disciples got on the boat and went to the storm? The Bible says that Jesus saw what they were going through. And part of me likes that, and part of me gets mad at that. God, if you're seeing what I'm going through, why don't you help me? But there's a greater plan and a greater purpose. His ways aren't our ways. So, Father, we thank you for courage. Even right now, Paul, you told those on the ship, take courage. God, just because our faith is low doesn't mean our courage needs to be low. So I speak courage, I speak boldness, I speak fortitude, I speak perseverance in the name of Jesus. We are not going to quit. We're not quitting on our marriage, we're not quitting on our kids, we're not quitting on our dreams, we're not quitting on opportunities, we're not throwing stuff aside, we're not throwing responsibility on the side of the ship. Purity out, virginity out. Look, God, we're pressing to you like we've never pressed into you before. Thank you, God, that you're found in the middle of the storm. In the eye of the storm, you are there. God, help your sons and daughters. Help my brothers and sisters, I pray. We thank you for your grace and power. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We rest in your presence. I want us to sing this song together. You can stay up here as the worship team is leading us in this song. If you're not up here, just extend your hand toward your brothers and sisters, your friends, and just ask God to move upon their heart and on their life as we sing this incredible song back to the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, I'm Steve Abraham, the pastor of New Life Oxnard. Thank you for watching our YouTube channel. You can join us live every Sunday for a new sermon and live worship. Also, be sure to take a minute to subscribe and turn on your post notifications so you don't miss any of our new videos or live streams, and please share with a friend. And if you would like to partner with us in furthering the gospel, please click the link below. Don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for watching, and God bless you.